Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? We got a brand new MMA Roasted podcast coming at you. It should be a great show. It's going to be a great show. It should be. We have the return of Mayhem.
Jason. Yeah.
Coming here, we got Don Fry, of course. If he remembers, we have Destiny Yarbo, who is the football player slash bare knuckle fighter slash MMA fighter, and Cody Durden. It's a stack show. We got a stack show. Hope you guys are having a good week.
Has Destiny? How many times has she scheduled the show?
She's been on three. But she actually did come on last week, but she was like 10 minutes late, and I just thought she wasn't coming. You know, a lot of times people are late, but like they're not the last interview. You know, like they come on, like they're supposed to be on at 12:30. They're coming on at 12:45, but we're still going, and they pop on. But it was like the last 5 minutes of the show, and then I just thought she was done. But it's going to be a good show. So I just got to remind Don, because Don sometimes, you know, I have to call him. You know, I'll be like, Don, are you coming on the show today? And I'll go, fuck you. I'll be there, homo. You know, like he really is like America's uncle. He's the most underappreciated human being I've ever. Everything he says could have been like, yeah, hold on, see, Don. Hey, Don, we started the show.
Yeah, you know, but 2 minutes ago, shit.
All right, I'll see you in a little bit.
You already started it?
We just started like 10 seconds ago.
I mean, you say he's unappreciated, but every time we have it, everyone's like, oh my God, Don Fry, you're a legend. I'm so honored to meet you.
Yes, I know, but I still feel like everyone should say that everywhere he goes. He's basically Chuck Norris. He's like the Chuck Norris of Chuck Norris's, you know, like.
Yeah, he really is.
He could fuck anyone up. I mean, Chuck Norris is this like amazing karate star, but I've never seen him fight, like really fight. Have you?
Yeah, I'm curious what Don would think about that, because he obviously never did MMA, Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
He was a karate champion, but keep in mind, at the time he was doing karate, there were like 50 people doing karate too in America.
And a lot of times these karate champions come over and get mauled in MMA. I mean, look at
all the time
last week, that guy who was a gold medal in the Olympics in karate came over and just got taken down and like just grinded out. I mean, the only karate guys that we've ever seen do really well in the UFC have been Machida.
Yeah, of course.
And then Wonder Boy.
Ish.
And now MVP. But Wonder Boy was never a champion. Machida was a champion, and MVP was a Bellator champion, but we don't even know. He didn't do really that great.
But wasn't he a kickboxer too? That's a little bit different.
Yeah, right. I think he was a kickboxer too. So yeah, we don't really know how. You're right. We got to ask Don Fry. He just came on just now about how he thinks he would do against Chuck Norris. I think he would. I think it'd be one round. I think it might even be like.
Of course.
I think it might even be 2 minutes. Don, how bad do you think you would beat Chuck Norris in your prime and versus him in his prime?
Chuck, you hate to say anything bad about Chuck. Hell, he's 80 years old, you know? So you're
going to talk shit
about 80-year-old man.
Yeah, but we're saying that. But we're saying he was like, he's known as the toughest guy ever. And Chuck Norris. But we've never seen him in an MMA fight. We've only seen him.
No, he never did MMA. He did. He had a spinning back kick. That was his moneymaker. You know, a spinning back kick.
But if you versus Chuck Norris in an MMA fight, I mean, how does that fight go?
Well, in our prime, hell, I better damn win, because I'm probably outweighing by 50 pounds. You know,
Yeah, you're being.
And then I got, you know, a lot more experience. I got a lot more experience on the ground than he does. So yeah, I better win, or I got no business being in the game.
Yeah. I think you're being nice. But I don't think that fight goes. What we were saying is that, like, everyone that comes on the show is like Don Fry, Don Fry, Don Fry. And I think that should be wherever you go. Like, I think there should be Don Fry staff. Yeah. Don Fry monuments. There should be like a Don Fry day where you're allowed to just punch anyone you want in the face. You know, like,
yeah, it's like everyone says, oh, Chuck Norris is so tough. Like monsters check under the bed for Chuck Norris. It should be for Don Fry. We want to replace Chuck Norris with Don Fry in the collective unconscious of America.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Right.
So anyway, it was my birthday over the weekend.
That'd be a fun trip.
I turned 46.
Oh yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks, man. I don't know, man. I got kind of depressed. Not depressed, but 46. I don't look at birthdays anymore as like fun days. I look at it as like, oh, like one more year closer to dying. One more year that I haven't really.
Well,
yeah.
One more year of failure. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Not you.
Not me. So I ended up going. I had tickets to go see LFA, which I invited Bill. Bill says, hey, just so you guys know, tell Don I have all these miles and I'll fly him out anywhere he wants to go.
I said, like, on JetBlue.
On JetBlue, right? So we're like, but then we look up flights. There's not one.
They fly from LAX to Burbank. Yeah.
Yeah, right. There's not one JetBlue flight. Like, not one. There was not one that doesn't even go to these airports. That, like,
I thought it did for some reason.
No. And then Bill's like, hey, Adam, tell Don. I'll
only when they get blown off course.
Yeah. And then Don says, all right, I'll do it. Right. So then Bill goes, find the flight, Adam. I'm like, okay, so now I'm doing the work. Like, I'm fucking driving while looking up flights, like about to get into like six accidents. And I'm like, what? There's not one flight. And then this guy he goes, hey, I'm sorry. You know, it's going to cost me $1,200. And, you know, tell Don I love him, but I don't have. And I'm like, why am I the mediator of this bullshit? Like, now I got to break Don's heart. But like, what is this? Like, this is your fault.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Exactly.
I love to offer free flights when it's JetBlue because they never fly anywhere. So it always makes me look good, but I'm off the hook.
Right.
I thought JetBlue was like stationed in Arizona.
So you and me too.
You got 10 million miles.
There was nothing, right? So I go to the fights, by the way, and Cub Swanson was the
by yourself.
Yeah. Good. LFA had some great fights. Thank you, Ed Soares, to come in. So Cub Swanson was one of the announcers, him and Dave Farr. They did a great job. But I remember I invited Cub to my birthday one year. I had a comedy show and he shows up and he was like a week after he had a fight and his jaw was wired. Right. And he showed up a comedy. So he couldn't open his jaw. And I'm going around introducing him, like, hey, this is my buddy Cub Swanson. Well,
good thing you never made him laugh.
Well, I'm going around introducing him, like, hey, this is my buddy Cub. He's in the UFC. And he's like, and he's like, spit everywhere. I mean, people think that he's like, you know, like one of the guys, like the guy from the Goonies, like Sloth. He's like, like the worst representative of a fighter you can think.
Oh my God.
And then, by the way, so the LFA they have Chris Lieben as one of the refs, by the way. So Chris,
oh my Lieben, God,
dude, he's letting every fight go 10 minutes longer than it should.
Of course.
Like he's not stopping shit because Lieben, all his fights were like, he gets the living shit beat out of him by the brink of death, comes back and wins. Right. Like that was because I remember watching one fight where Joe Rogan was like, Chris Lieben is a zombie. I remember him just saying that he's a zombie, right? So every fight was like a war because Chris Lieben's not going to stop it until after, you know, literally like five guys got carried out in stretchers. After, because the guy couldn't get up. because Chris Lieben let the guy take 175 punches, which is great for, like, if you're watching it, very exciting fights. But, yeah, Chris Lieben.
So, wait, I have a question for Don. Would you prefer a ref who ends fights too early or too late?
Too
if
late.
You had to choose.
Too late.
Yeah. Yeah, well, then Chris.
If I was fighting, too late. Yeah. But if I'm watching, because I got pissed at a bunch of referees that let fights go too long before. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous how they let them go sometimes. But hell, if I'm the fighter, I want them to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if you're a fighter and you have a lot of heart and you have good ways to come back, you better hope Chris Lieben is reffing your fight. This dude. And then Cyborg is there, right? Cyborg. And I wrote a sketch for Cyborg as Miley Cyrus for MMA Awards. Hey, Rosie, don't go in the cat litter. The dog is trying to eat the cat litter. So, you know, the song was I Don't Like to Take Showers instead of I Don't Want to Buy the Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
So I see Cyborg and I'm like, hey, I'm the guy that said that you don't like to take showers. Like, I didn't really know how to, because her English isn't that great, but she was very sweet. She's the sweetest. So she's with this guy in the crowd. I don't know if it's her husband. And there's another guy fighting who's getting wrecked the first round. Like he almost turns. You know how like you got a guy standing and one guy kind of turns and they usually stop it when the guy gets enough.
Yeah.
Well, it was like 5 seconds left. So they didn't stop it. And the person's getting hit. And then Cyborg friend just starts screaming in Portuguese, like, bah! I don't know what he was saying, but like everyone could hear this guy screaming, right? And the guy looks over at him and just nods yes, right? Like nods yes, goes out and then beats the shit out of the other guy. Like whatever. And then during his speech, he's like, yeah, my friend was yelling at me and told me to throw punches.
That's a great idea for a fight. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that?
Like, yeah, why wouldn't
wonderful he, idea.
Why wouldn't he know that you're supposed to throw punches? crazy.
Wait, Adam, how close were you to the octagon or the ring? Were you right there on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about these local fights, and LFA is not really a local promotion, but it's a smaller promotion. I prefer them over the UFC fights because you're always right there. I mean, and you get a better view, and it just everyone knows each other. Everyone is like you know, the people next to us work the Starbucks with the fighter, and like, you know, literally you could scream at somebody and they're listening. And I actually prefer like the local promotions and the smaller ones more than the UFC. What about you, Don?
I like the UFC. You know, I like to see the higher quality fighters.
Yeah, right.
You got to start somewhere, obviously, you know, but
yeah.
I just don't get entertained easy, you know, so I want to see some high-quality violence, you know.
No, yeah. I totally feel you, but even, like, I hear you. I mean, there was some definitely high-quality fights in the LFA, but even, like, a concert, the worst concerts I go to are usually the ones in, like, stadiums. I'd rather go to the Roxy like the Wilshire and see like a band in front of like 200 people. I think comedy is the same way. It's like whenever like I've done a theater or whatever in front of 10,000 people, like don't get me wrong, it's amazing and the rush you get, the laughs go through you, but I feel like they're getting a better show and there's 100 people because I'm fucking with people and I'm doing crowd work.
Yeah,
it's more of an
they experience. Feel connected to it.
Yeah, I feel like when you do these huge theaters, people are getting the exact same show. They're getting a performance, but they're not getting like a show where you're really interacting with the crowd. I mean, Bill, you, what do you think?
Well, I'm not like you performing in front of 10,000 people, Adam. I don't get that luxury.
They weren't there to see me. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I would like to one day before I die, I want to perform at a stadium. Like a 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. I mean, just once. What's the most you've ever performed in front of?
That small?
I would say 10,000, 15,000was like the most. Don, when you fought in Japan, right? So there was like what, 20,000, 30,000 people?
There's 48,000 in the Saitama Super Arena. And then we do the Tokyo Dome. That was 70,000, 75,000.
Whoa, and it was packed? 75,000?
Yeah. I did Inoki's retirement match, which it was a Tokyo Dome 70,000 seat arena, and they sold 5,000 standing tickets,
Wow.
Because it was his retirement. And then we did the Tokyo National Soccer Stadium, which is outside, is 100,000 people.
Holy shit.
But they didn't boo, right? I mean, were they polite in Japan? I heard that they're like kind of polite.
Oh, they're way below polite. Yeah. They boo you, but no, they're usually polite.
Yeah.
What were the wrestling fans like, the pro wrestling fans?
They were great. They were great. They were quiet, just like the fight fans. They study. They watch the match. They don't get all wild and start throwing shit and all that. I mean, they threw stuff at me a couple of times, and that's a real rarity. Real rarity.
Got it.
That's a privilege and honor,
Then over the weekend, Bill, how was your weekend?
I've just been here with my daughter. I made up with baby mama, so I've just been, I haven't been well, but I've been able to like hang out with my daughter some.
How did you make up with her?
Well, you
money.
Luckily, she doesn't watch this podcast. You deal with narcissists, right? Basically, you just let them know that everything they did is right and everything you did is wrong, no matter what it is. Because you know what happened? She called me. I want to do a bit about this. She said you're just jizz. Which is like the N-word to baby daddies. You know what I mean?
You're like, all you were to her was jizz.
Yeah, which is like I said, the N-word to baby daddies. So and that like really set me off. And I was just like, I was so fucking mad. I kind of
did compliment me, boy.
I'm like, I'm just jizz. And why am I paying $350 a week for child support?
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, where do I say jizz
with a credit card. Anyway, so... So I just apologize. I'm like, yeah, I'm just a jizz guy, and that's why I'm sorry. And you're so much better than me. And then she's fine. If you just tell her she's right and you're wrong, she's fine. I find that true with most women, but particularly with her. So
yeah,
my tactic lately has with my wife is like when she says something to me, and I go, "How would you like it if I said this to you?" And I'm going to respond now the way that you're responding to me, like the other day, and then that doesn't work at all.
No, it doesn't. No,
that completely does not work.
Logic doesn't. There's no place for logic in a fucking conversation with a woman. No place.
Mayhem, can you hear us? I
see logic.
I see that Mayhem is here. I just can't see him.
Oh, you're just jizz.
Yeah, you had more substance, do you?
Yeah, bro. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Here, just a second. I'm figuring shit out right now. Technical difficulties.
Take your time. You're here with me, Bill Dawes, and Don Fry. So, by the way, so I had Sam Tripoli over my house. Me and Sam go way back. It was cute. He brought his two daughters over on Sunday. We actually watched the Knick game. It's so funny. Like, I'm from New York, but I don't have any like New York fans to watch it with, especially when you have like I had so many people at my wedding, right? And now I look at it, and I think I'm friends with about like 6% of the people that were at my wedding.
Wow.
Like you really should have your wedding 5 years after you get married, because you'll have no friends.
You'll know who your friends are. That's good.
You will save 95% of the money.
Save a lot of money, yeah.
Holy shit. Like even like my birthday, I was like, man, I think I have like 6 friends to hang out with. Like I'm like, what? I don't even know what half the people that came to my wedding. I got married 7 years ago. I can't tell you where half of these people are, or even if they even don't even talk to me. If I needed something and I called them, they'd be like, "What? Did you die? Like, what happened?" Right. So, so Sam came over but Tripoli reminded me, dude, there was a gig I did in Long Beach. It might have been one of the worst gigs. Although almost every other gig I do is one of the worst gigs, but this gig was like, There was a guy holding a snake. It was like a gang war. You couldn't see the stage. It was like one of those microphones that you get at like Sam Goody. It was just like a gig where the bar was in the middle of the room. There was nothing. So of course I get to gig for Sam. I'm like, oh, it's whatever. It paid, I don't know, $100 or whatever it was. So I get Sam the gig, and I remember I'm in acting class, and this girl's doing a speech, right, about her like her mom dying, or she's crying. And I asked Sam, and I'm like, Sam, like, I go, how's the gig, right? I get a big text back in all caps, lose my number. Like, so I look down, I start laughing. And of course, everyone's laughing at the girl crying in acting class. So they've almost kicked me out of acting class. Dude, this other gig I got for Sam, I was at Hennessy's in Dana Point, right? And if you don't know Dana Point, it's like this, like, all these, like, surfing people, like, hot chicks. And it looks like...
very wealthy community.
Yeah, but this bar was, like, it was, like, extras from, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto. Everyone had, like...
or Sons of Anarchy extras.
Yeah, like, head tattoos and shit. So Sam, I get the gig, and it goes fine. So I get Sam the gig. So I guess he's on stage, and some girl kept getting up to go to the bathroom to do coke. And he's like, if you get up one more time, I'm going to eat your ass, right? So then she's like, you wouldn't dare. So then everyone's going, eat her ass, right? So she gets up and to go to the bathroom again, and he lays down, and she pulls out her pants. He starts eating her ass, like, during his show, right? So then I guess she was a lesbian, and her girlfriend got up and started, like, punching him. And then some guy started punching him. So then he says, like, you hit like a girl, right? So he starts heckling the guy punching him while eating the girl's ass. I guess he was taking breaks or something, right? And I think he tells me this, and I guess this was the closing. Like, this was the grand finale, because, like, you can't really follow this, right?
Yeah.
So then after that,
yeah, you can't top that.
So after that, they had a meeting. The people that worked there told me they had a meeting with the staff saying you can't let the comics eat people's asses. Like, from
that's the line. Eating pussy, fine. Eating ass, there's a health concern there.
But, like, I would love to have been, yes.
Adam, for him to lie on stage, the girl to walk on stage, take her pants and her underpants, and then sit, that's so much time has to pass. Nobody did anything?
No, but there was, like, 10 people that verified the story. Because I thought he was lying, and then I asked a bunch of people, they're like, no, that's exactly what happened. And then, like, the person
what were they supposed to do? Jump in there and eat the ass first?
Hey, there he is.
There I am. I finally got my technical difficulties under control, guys. I apologize for the tardiness. I had a guy to coach, and he hit the pads way longer than I thought he could. Yeah. So we're on track. Hey, I'm sorry to break up this classy conversation about lesbian ass eating by a male, which, I mean, that's, like, antithetical. If she's asking randos to eat her ass that are dudes, I mean, that's, like, a whole new level of pronouns right there. I don't know what the hell to call that. Jesus Christ of Latter-day. Nice to be back on the best podcast on the world, except for all the rest of the podcast.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, listen, the Bad News Bears of podcasting right here. We're back, baby. We're back.
Woo!
Don't fight. You're in the house.
Yeah, you look great, by the way. Great, Mayhem.
Can you guys hear Mayhem better now? Can you guys hear him? Or
I feel like he got AirPods from Sam Goody, but.
Yeah, I found these AirPods on a city bus. Okay, I don't know if they work or not.
I think you're better off without the AirPods, to be honest.
Well, here's the thing: the whole reason that I was stressed out about the AirPods is because if I take it out, I think it's going to hang up on me. And when I tried to hear you guys before on this Zoom meeting, I couldn't even hear you, bro. So just a heads up, FYI. I might hang up on you right now. I don't know.
All right, let's try it. Fuck. Oh, no.
So he finds the fucking AirPods on a city bus and puts them in his ears. Isn't it like using a fucking needle or something like that?
So what? Dude, and this is the only guy who makes Don Fry look like he has good Wi-Fi. I think this might be the only person in the world. Like, this is a whole new level. All right, he's back. Jace is back. So the ear pads only work. Okay. All right, now he's to the side. I can see him.
We're doing it wrong, dog.
That was perfect. That was perfect. That was perfect.
Good. Sounds good.
Raw dog is better.
Jason, you look
Younger. Raw dog.
You look like you went back 5 years in time.
Like eight I know, years, baby. Bro, yeah. I know. I feel like a brand new man. I know. Listen, you won't imagine what the streets will do to you. You know what I mean? If you're out on them streets running wild, buddy, you become depleted really quick. You look like a skeleton. You know, I'd rather be a little. I was thinking all heroin chic. Like, I was like, ooh, I'm sexy. But nah, dude, I look sick, bro. And I left all my crazy posts up. Like, a lot of people, when they go through bad times, they like to scrub the internet of all the bad stuff. I just left it up. So if anyone want to go look back and see what happens when you're a drunken maniac, yeah, check it out. Check it out.
Well, Jason, we talk a lot on the phone, and you know, the other day we were saying, you're like, yeah, you know, my life isn't as fun anymore. But I said the problem is that you're fun and everyone else is fun. It's just different.
Listen, my fun, unless like I'm on the brink of death, you know, like dancing with the devil, you know what I mean? She steps on your testicles. Yeah, it's you know, that I know. So somewhere along the lines, I kind of broke my brain a little bit where it's like the only thing fun is like absolutely terrifying and absolutely like, you know what I mean? You don't get scared anymore where you're just like, hey, this is awesome. I think I might die. And that's a really, really dangerous place to be in your life. You know, when you're geared like I am, yeah, you can't do that. Now, I get my fun from the gym and I don't know. I have like some new adult type fun where it's like friendly, figuring new things out. It's weird. It's weird. I never thought I would be a nerd like this, but I am.
Well, Don, when he wants to have fun, I think Don just left. But sometimes when Don wants to have fun, he says he goes on the border. And
shoots Mexicans? Yeah, that makes sense. Checks out. Goes with his outfit. Any of them.
It doesn't have to be Mexicans. It could be any of them.
Okay.
Yeah, it could also be Chinese people.
Chinese immigrants fleeing the Democratic Republic of China. You know? I don't know.
But Don told me the other day, Don said, how's it going? I can't walk. My shoulder's fucked. I need leg surgery. I go, what do you do this weekend? Herding cattle. And I'm like,
oh. Hell yeah. Oh, man, shit, bro. You need to fucking take some notes, bro. You got you old single dads over here. Well, I call Adam a single dad because his wife won't talk to him. But like, You guys better take some notes from the mustachioed gentleman, you know, and do some manly shit out there.
So Jason, you are you're coaching a lot, right?
Buddy, I mean, yes, I'm coaching too much, bro. Like, oh my god. Yeah, I'm not really in fight shape, but I'm definitely in pad holding shape. Oh my god. I just like, you know what I mean? I put these guys through the ringer all the damn time. It's very rewarding, you know, because I see guys jump their level up in a very short amount of time. And it's very satisfying to use, you know, because I spent years using my skills for the powers of evil. And for me now to be using it for something good and positive that will bring food to the guy's table and, you know, more self-confidence. And I don't know, it's just like I get to be an artist all over again. Where my brush is the pads and my canvas is these fighters, and they do some really beautiful stuff. And to see them go from a somewhat good puncher to like a crazy ass puncher is really, I mean, it's satisfying in a way that drugs can't really top. You know, it's something much different. I'm finally like growing into this new era of my life.
Don, have you thought about coaching at all or no?
No, nobody's ever asked me.
Nobody asked me either, bro. I just butt my hand up in there and go,
hey, man, hit the fucking pads. And then eventually, the funny part about it is, well, after a little while of after one session, then they're like, okay, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, they listen to me. Like, God bless them. God bless them for paying attention, you know?
Are you doing mostly amateurs?
Or yeah. I got amateur. I got pros. I got two guys fighting on up next card on July 6th. So if you guys come out to that one, oh, man, you'll be happy. They're beasts. They're really like talented athletes. And I can't wait to see what they do on the 6th.
Do you have anyone that you're developing right now that you're like, this person could be like a champ, like a true champ?
Yes. Two different guys that are this level of athleticism, commitment to the sport, aggressiveness, the mentality. It's something that, you're lucky to see in your lifetime, but also though, there's a lot of things in front of them, there's a luck element to it. There's a life element. Like, can they maintain their life? Can they not get too, I've seen guys fall off, get too arrogant. Hell shit. I've been that way where I, have a hiccup where you think that you're so awesome that, you don't train properly. And, it's up to the individual athlete, but potential wise, definitely. There's two guys in my mind right now that have that ability to be top in the world at 155. Both guys are 155ers. And what I'm interested in is eventually they might have to run into each other. That's a really strange thing,
Yeah.
Don, did anyone ever try to get a fight Dan Severn?
Did they what?
Anyone ever try to get you to fight Dan Severn?
No. We were supposed to fight, the winner of Ultimate 2 in 96 was supposed to fight Dan, for the heavyweight championship belt because he had the heavyweight belt. And I won, but I broke my hand. So, I wouldn't be able to fight him. It's like a 6 to 8 week injury. And then you got to get in shape. And I wouldn't have time to because the fight was scheduled for February. And I wouldn't have fought him anyways. But, yeah. No, there's no way, no.
Who do you think would have won?
Come on, bud.
Oh, I don't know.
It's Sean Prime. All day. I'll say it. Come on. Plus that alone. And hey, can I just stop the podcast for a moment and ask about formatting? Are we all doing it like this? Or are we doing it like this? Like, bro, you got me confused. Adam.
I don't know. Which way am I?
Yeah, you're that way. You're this way, right? And Adam is the other way. Don, we're all of us cool guys are this way. And then Adam is fucking doing portrait.
Yeah. Well, you're on your phone. Are you on your phone?
Well, obviously.
I'm on my computer because I have
Mr. Fucking Rich Moneybags.
I have to record it. I have to record the show.
On my computer.
Yeah.
I have my cast and crew. I have my crew filming me. He's the lighting and makeup.
Like flexing on us right now.
So did you guys watch the fights over on the weekend? Anyone watch the fights on Saturday?
Dude, I protest against the Apex. No, I'm not watching that garbage. Come on. Like,
all right.
Six people in the crowd. You know what I mean? Three of them are ring card girls. Get out of here with this shit. You know what I mean? They should have stopped that 10 years ago. Like, what the hell, bro? COVID was a million. Now they're just saving money, and logistics. Give the fans what they want. Like, all right. They can fight in every podunk city. They have so many fights. They could have a different fight in every podunk city every other weekend, and everybody would be happy to witness mixed martial arts live. Instead, they save the cake and just have it at this, have it at the gym.
All right, a couple of funny things happen during the fights. I'll show you. First, Dominic Cruz, right as he makes the call on the Adrian Yanez fight. Could you guys see?
Yeah.
I think the best key for Yanez is to stop trying to hit so hard and be okay with touching and then setting
himself. Oops.
Right when he's
top quality commentary right there.
Top quality commentary. So watch it again.
I think the best key for Yanez is to stop trying to hit so hard and be okay with touching and then setting
oops.
Okay,
I like that's hilarious. I like the proper shut the fuck up when as soon as it happened. He had no you have to give a Joe Rogan nothing, just a oops. You got to stop hitting so hard, except when he knocks the guy out. Oh, my bad.
That's why it's good to be at the Apex, so he could hear him say that, which is why he probably did it.
Oh, yeah. Look this, man. This guy's a conspiracy theorist. I appreciate that.
But, Jason, have you ever tried to hit someone too hard?
Yeah, hell yeah. Like a dumbass. Yeah, hell yeah. Like a dumbass, for sure.
What fights were those?
I don't know. I got angry at the Jake Shields thing because I got... You know, I thought the guy tapped out and break up the fight. And then later I'm like, man, I just went stupid. I just went full tarred, full redacted, 100% redacted.
By the way, Joe, if you guys don't know, Mayhem's first fight against GSP, Joe Rogan said, Mayhem Miller has retard strength.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was like a pause afterwards. And then I guess they probably told him, hey, we can't say retard strength during a UFC broadcast. So you were
different time, bro. Retards were accepting of their label. You know, there's no intellectual label back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. And I was calling myself that. So it's like weird. Like if you're retarded and you actually say that you're retarded, and admit that, and your friends with disabilities call you a retard? I mean, isn't that like N-word pass, or am I just...
I always thought that if you were complimenting someone, it wasn't bad. Like you're saying, saying retard strength. Like, why would that be a bad thing, right? But, I mean, other people will probably argue that...
You're not saying retard intelligence. Yeah, you're saying retard strength.
I got a retard smarts. Look at me. But we can't be saying this. He's going to get blocked out of YouTube.
No, well, first of all, Conor McGregor called that guy from Spain, Alir Kafora, whatever, the champion. He said he was a retarded Artem Lobov. And then, so that was yesterday. And that was in the caption. So I guess maybe they're, you know. So anyway, that was one fight that happened. Another fight that happened in the Apex was a girl got punched in the titty. And they stopped the fight.
Exploded.
It didn't explode, which you thought maybe.
It was a real titty?
Yeah, it was a real titty.
100% real titty.
And the girl lost her fight by titty punch. The girl was losing anyway. It kind of looked like she was looking for a way out, kind of.
A TKO, a titty knockout.
She tapped a titty strike. It's a titty KO?
Yeah, TKO, it was a TKO. Yeah, 100%. This was the, I have the aftermath. I can't find the actual thing, but this is the aftermath. See, you can see her holding her titty.
Yeah. Good old bag of ice, getting some action.
And then,
wow.
Yeah. And then the commentators didn't really know what to say. Like they didn't actually know how to comment because they were trying to be like PC. It was just like, yeah, you could tell Dominic Cruz and Felder were like, wow, that was a punch to the area. That
the pectoral muscle strained.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt.
Did Dominic Cruz say don't
punch it?
Dude, one of the worst part is the girl was Brazilian, and then someone asked Angela Hill today, how's your titty? And she's like, that was the other black girl. She wrote, that was the other black girl on Twitter. So like...
fan base. They all look the same, don't they?
Oh, dude. Cool. Yeah, that was so that was one fight, and then there was another fight that got the girl got swallowed.
Yes.
What? Okay.
Don, I think your Wi-Fi went out for a second. What were you saying?
Yo, somebody shot down his. This guy is broadcasting from Ukraine right now.
So the titty punch that happened. Then another girl lost by a headbutt. She got headbutted twice.
Whoa.
The girl legitimately was on top and just went boing boing twice, and then they disqualified her. And then afterwards, the girl called her a pussy and said, you know. Basically, you shouldn't be happy with that win, this whole thing. But she headbutted her twice. She said it was
very intentionally then, huh?
She said it was adrenaline. Mayhem, were you fighting when headbutts were legal?
Yeah. I never headbutted anybody though. I figured like, nah, there's no need. I could punch the guy better than I could. You know, I didn't want to open myself up. I headbutts were legal in the early days, but I was like, why? You know, I'm like trying to be a jiu-jitsu guy where I'm like smart and tactical about my strength. I didn't want to, you know, open myself to get cut up like old Tyson Fury's daddy, headbutting an 8-year-old and cutting himself wide open.
Yeah. But Don, you practice headbutts, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you would just
punch, you would just headbutt on your shoulder today.
Yeah. I think your Wi-Fi got worse somehow, right? Or is it just me?
No, bro. His house is covered in tinfoil, so they can't read his thoughts.
Dude, you're not kidding. Dude, I went to his house, Jason. He's got 15 guns under each pillow, right? At least.
And you're way braver than I give you credit for, Adam. I you know what I mean? I'll be sketched out to go to old Don Fry's house.
It's a beautiful house. A beautiful house. It's on a hill. You can't see it. There's no mailboxes. Nice. Like you drive up a hill and then you just make a left. The whole street stop. There's no names for streets or anything. And then you just go. You go, go, go. And then it's a hill with like horses, but there's no horses there. It's just horse ranch cattle. Then there's like and then in each room has about 25 guns, followed by a gun case. There was about 75, there was Uzis, guns. He had a cannon. He had a cannon, dude. And then he's like, and then all his wrestling trophies and his belts, he goes, man, I won this wrestling trophy back. The tournament was 7 days long. I won it at 4 a.m. Like he starts showing me all the things, dude. I got to hold the pride trophy. It was pretty badass. It was probably one of the best moments of my life. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I'm sure your daughter would love to hear that.
I was going to say, don't tell your wife that.
Yeah. No. But Don, did you move or no?
No, I'm still in the same place.
Oh, good, 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 good. Anyway, you can go to has better Wi-Fi because there's like a triple echo now.
Same place.
Top quality podcast. Top quality. And sure.
All right. So then there was a guy, by the way, also on the card. This guy that like he's from Africa and like The Rock loves him. Like somehow him and The Rock became like best friends. The Rock did something with him, right?
Yeah. $1 in his bank account and The Rock bought him a house. What the hell?
Is that what happened? Okay.
Fuck myself.
So his fight was really boring. Like he won his fight, but it was all like him hugging the guy against the cage, sort of like over-unders. There was no action, right? But after the fight, he makes a speech how his wrestling coach's mom died and his wrestling coach couldn't be with his mom because he was training with him. Super sad, like really, really sad. But then he just starts like threatening anyone that was trolling him. It got really dark. Like here, I'll show
Whoa.
You. The, I'll show you the speech. Hold on. Let's see if I could follow, if I could get this out of here. Hold on. So here, it got really, really dark, but almost kind of funny, but not funny, but just like crazy.
That's why I cried the way
Hold on. Hold on. Can you guys see this or no?
No.
All right. Hold on. Let me see what we got. Zoom. Here we go. Boom. So, all right. So watch this, Jay. Yo, what's up, people? I got to talk to you about Game Time. Okay, gametime.co, all right? I'm telling you, I'm excited for the NBA playoffs. It's been the best season of basketball I can recall in a long time. Super pumped about it. And Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier, which is great. I mean, who would want to go to a playoff game? Now, prices on Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets tip-off. I mean, normally you would think it would go up. Nope. Going down, and with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Trust me, you don't want to go there, and all of a sudden you're behind. You can't see anything. That would suck. All right, check out the Game Time app. I know there's a great bunch of NBA games coming up right now tonight. It's the Knicks. The Knicks are playing. the Sixers and the Knicks got this. Okay. And I would love to go to that game. Okay. I would, that would be amazing. I'm from New York. So obviously I got to go for the Knicks and the Lakers and pretty much whoever else is winning. All right. And I'm telling you, they got last minute deals. They got flash deals, zone deals, easy to find. You could buy MLB tickets and for every kind of event in your area. They got views from all seats in the venue, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection. If you get fired, you can't make it, something happens. All right. Now, you could save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. All right. I know you guys love the theater, especially this audience, Broadway. You guys love Shakespeare. I'm sure we got some very Shakespeare people. All right. Now, and they also have in-app deals. They got zone deals, save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. You got all-in pricing. This feature shows the total up front. No surprise. That's the worst when you go to other things and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is a great deal. And you get there and it costs you an arm and a leg. So take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Now download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's great. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. All right. Check it out. I'm telling you, this is it. This is what you want to do. Do it now. All right. And I'll also enjoy the rest of this podcast.
Jason and Bill and Don. So he goes,
because you know what? His mother could have said goodbye to him. But you know what I did? I thought it was going to be another time away. She dies. Like all of us. But I robbed him of his mother by changing his flight ticket to go back. He was about to go back on the 22nd of April. I said to him, please, can you stay for 4 more weeks to help me through and we'll go together to South Africa? So when you see me cry with all your judgy on the comment sections and all that, look at something. Death is going to visit you one day, sometimes unexpected.
Whoa.
And guess what? You're going to have a problem because people like you that are online tuning me, then why am I crying? I robbed that man of his mother's last moments. You understand that? Growing up, when I was 13, someone robbed me of my father's last moments. To this day, I've not forgiven that person. So I feel guilty because of him. But, hey, I'm not going to say anything anymore.
Like somebody said they just tuned in, and all of a sudden, the guy's yelling, death is going to visit you.
Oh, my God.
Like,
what an Iberian scammer.
I mean he did say his speech wasn't great. He said he had a bad
I
understand what he was trying to say, and I definitely feel for the guy, and it's horrible what happened. But
what happened?
His wrestling coach's mom died, and he couldn't spend the last time with his mom because he was coaching him, he felt terrible about it, right? Mm-hmm. Right. But then he said to all, and I guess people were making fun of him for crying online. So he was mad about that. So he looked in the camera and he said, death is going to visit you one day.
Which is true.
Yeah. He wrong. How's this guy catching flack for saying the truth? You know?
No, he's not really catching flack. He just scared a lot of people who just tuned in to watch. People just tuned in to watch a fight.
I thought he was like, tracking down IP addresses, you know what I'm saying? Like, or by, you know, Nigerian prince, bro. You don't give them no.
But Bill, Jason has some of the best stories I've ever heard in my life. Don, you ever heard the pride story with Jason?
No.
John, are you still with us? I think Death just said to Don.
Listen,
I want to hear all the stories because I hear them third hand from you, Adam.
No, I think Death visited Don. Don hasn't moved in 5 minutes. I think Don heard that speech and now he's gone. Don, are you still with us?
Making fun of him.
Don, are you still with us?
No, and he can't track his IP address because that thing keeps
dropping. He
doesn't stay online longer. You know when the cops try to track you down, you know? They're like, if you can keep him on the line for 10 more seconds, but Don's Wi-Fi goes out immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Jason was fighting in Pride, right? And he and
humanity. It goes on humanity. Yes. Yeah,
okay. So Jason asked the promoter, hey, when I walk out, I want 16 girls dressed up
in Japanese scroggle outfits, right?
Oh my God. Out,
and we're all going to do a choreographed dance, right? Somehow the language got translated wrong. They got 16 Japanese schoolgirls, right? So these girls are like 12 years old, right? So
actual schoolgirls, not adults.
Well, hey, 16, you know, and the age of consent is blurry out there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
But I definitely had to talk my corner man out of like, hey, bud, just so you know, stop talking to that little girl, dude. Like, just, you know, these are actual Japanese schoolgirls. So just back up, okay? But what I find even more interesting than the fact that they did that without even consulting me, like clarifying. They're like, I asked for girls in schoolgirl outfits, and like without, they're like, oh, we know it. We're Japanese. We know what you mean. And I was like, whoa.
That's great.
But by the time that I realized, it was too late. They were there. It was time to fucking go fight. So I was like, all right, well, here you go, girls. Learn the dance. Let's do it. It was weird. That was.
Is there a recording of it anywhere?
Yeah, on the internet, of course.
Oh, fuck. We got to see it.
If you look up Japanese schoolgirl mayhem dance, something like that, you'll see it. Wild one. It was weird. I mean, it came out super wholesome. That's the thing. Is when I realized they were little girls, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Let's have a nice little, I changed the choreography because the first choreography I designed was much different. But once I saw what I was working with, I totally changed it up and we had like a nice wholesome dance, you know, and the fans loved it. It was.
There needs to be like a top 10 Jason Mayhem Miller, like things that happen. I think that might be in the number. That might be the top. Yeah,
great. I love it.
I'll even take some of your embellishments that you always do.
Then he somehow finds a guy who I love. But you talk about being on the spectrum. The fighter, he's like on the spectrum times 100. Matt Horwitz, or was it right? Is that
Matt Horwitz is one of the best guys of all time. Yeah, he's one of the best. The most solid dude that you could deal with, but yeah, you know, got a little dollop of the tism.
Nicest guy, but like just out there, right? So him and Jason, it was only like a matter of time before they found each other, but it was also like, oh no. So he goes.
I wrestled with that guy in Las Vegas for like, I don't know, like an hour. We're both like cardio machines where we just wrestle, and we didn't talk. And then after the practice, you know, I was showered up. And he came up to me, and the first thing he said to me was, can you take me to the grocery store so that I can buy some fresh broccoli? no small talk. That's what he asked. And I said, yeah, bro, I definitely can. And we've been friends ever since.
So this is the guy Jason hires to work his corner, right? So, so he goes out to Italy to fight. And his training camp was not good. He missed weight by 37 pounds, right? So
48.
First he's fighting a guy, Luke Barnott, right? Luke Barnott's the guy he's fighting. But he keeps making promo videos saying he's fighting Josh Barnett, right? So he keeps calling out the wrong guy. So he's calling out the wrong guy for like a month. Josh Barnett, me and you, he's not fighting Josh Barnett. He's fighting Luke Barnott, right? But he keeps making videos about how he's fighting Josh Barnett, right? So then he misses weight by 42 pounds, right? But he steps on the scale and then steps off the scale, takes off his shorts, and goes back on the scale. Like, if this, that was...
Hey, first part about that was they didn't let me finish the joke because I knew I was going to miss weight. I knew it. So I had one more joke where I was going to take off those shorts and I had some bikini briefs on, you know, and I was ready to go to the next level of things.
Yeah, like, he's the Carrot Top of Wyans, right? So then during his fight, okay, he goes in there and he fights a different guy now. They find a guy that's 40 pounds heavier, right? That was way tougher, I think, than the guy he was supposed to fight. During his fight, his corner, Matt Horwitz, is reading the Bible, like the whole so he's looking, and then
hey, he protected me, bro. I did not get injured even a little bit during that fight. You know, I won the first round too, so like everything was fine. You know what I mean? I feel like God got me through God bless the multiverse.
So Jason's completely out of shape, right? Out of shape. And he goes, how much time is left? And then the guy goes, what?
The whole fight.
What? I'm like, bro, what question would I be asking right now, you fuck, you idiot? Yeah, it's a bad idea to run all your professional corner men off, because then you get stuck with like very uneducated corner men who read the Bible and don't know to tell you how time is left. And I was going to go for a submission, but instead the time ran out. It's like, son of a gun.
Did you lose by decision?
Yeah, hell no. I fucking tapped. I was like so exhausted. I was so out of shape. And they made me cut weight twice. Like they made me, I did that one. That was a money fight. That was like a free trip to Italy and, a nice fight. Like a nice, that was one of those. I never thought I would do it, but, you know, I just phoned that one in.
So that might be okay. So then this is also my top 10. This is a darker story, but we have a mutual friend who goes, yo, I was out with Jason last night, and this is back, and he goes, we met some guy, and Jason met a guy at a bar that they talked about podcasting, and the guy goes, hey, I would love to have you do my podcast, right? So him and the guy, my friend who's a comic, show up to the guy's house, right? And the guy's like sleeping with his family, and they break into his house, go downstairs and start recording a podcast, right? So the guy comes down with a gun, right? A gun, and aiming it at both their heads, going, get out of my house. And then Jason goes, we have to finish the podcast.
Like, oh, you're butchering that story, bro. But I'm going to let it slide. I let it slide. Yeah.
So then finally he goes, I'm willing to die for this podcast. But first of all, there is no podcast. Like, they just made up a podcast. It was like their first show, right? So then like 6 months go by, and the guy reaches out to Jason and goes, hey, we want to do my podcast. I'm really doing a podcast. Jason goes to do it. Halfway through the show, the guy starts stabbing him, right?
What the fuck?
Yeah, he starts getting stabbed during the podcast.
Wait, hold on, slow down. Was there something that happened, or he planned the stabbing and just laid in wait for you to?
Did not plan to kill me. Yeah, 100%. He planned to kill me. Yeah. So, but he didn't. Still here. Yeah. Many men have tried, and all have failed.
And so this was a comic?
Nah, this is like a producer type guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
he starts stabbing him during the show. And then Jason's still doing the podcast while getting stabbed and choking the guy out. So he's
I'm a professional. You should learn. You get stabbed during a podcast, the show must go on, baby. You think you dealt with bad handlers, Adam?
So I think that's definitely in my top 10. That's number. I mean, there's a couple more that I don't want to get into because it might be
too. What was he stabbing you with, though? I need to know what the instrument was. Was it like a...
It was funny because we were going back and forth. We were like razzing each other, and then I just remember going, "Oh shit, he's got a knife!" He flipped out a buck knife. I'm like, "Oh shit, he's got a knife!" And he stabbed right for my heart, and I blocked it, bro. That's the night that Steven Seagal saved my life, bro. If I didn't learn those Steven Seagal knife disarms when I was a kid, I would have been
holy shit.
I'd be here doing this Wi-Fi Don Fry podcast. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't know those techniques.
Don, did you ever get stabbed before?
No.
Not by his heart. He's smart enough to stay out of that, and he's got a pistol in his waistband at all times.
Did you ever have to pull out your gun on anybody?
No. No, I kept it pretty handy a couple of times, though. I took it out of my holster in my pickup truck, you know.
But didn't you tell me there was a time that you went into your ex-wife's house and she was with a gay guy or something, and then you ended up like beating him up or something, or there was a something happened.
Where to go? Where do you begin with that one? Fuck.
You said your ex was cheating on you.
That sounds like
and the guy was gay.
Oh, oh yeah, well, that sounds like a Mayhem Miller. That's a Mayhem Miller story.
Totally did that. I'll take credit for that one. You know, all these stories are getting like mopped around in your brain. Like that time that guy socked you up in the elevator. I think that affects your memory.
Fuck, dude. Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Wait, what happened to the elevator, Adam?
Dude, that was a fight I lost. I was with my dog that bit Mayhem twice. There was I had a little Chihuahua, and Jason had we had a
dog.
Jason, it was a pit bull. It was used for pit bull fighting. It was as a bait dog. This dog, my ex brought him home. No research. He's got a missing ear, and he was so aggressive. And I was trying to train him. So me and the ex were hanging out. We did Runyon Canyon, and I gave him a bone so that. And then it was like every 5 seconds, I was my stress level was through the roof. And then some dude was letting his dog shit all over the front. And I'm like, you're going to clean that up, right? Which I should have left my business. I don't know what I was thinking, right? So then I go in the elevator, and his dog got away from the leash, ran into my elevator to take my dog's bone out, and started like I hear, you know how like, you hear a dog cry because it gets bit, and it's still, and his dog was like, it was like a chocolate lab. It was a big dog. And mine was this little. So then the guy came in. I'm like, why is your fucking dog off the leash? He's like, I'm just watching the dog. It's not mine. I'm like, well, fucking watch it. And he's like, well, fuck you. And I pushed him. And then the guy fucking cracks me in the face.
Oh,
and
shit.
I'm like, all right, like use your boxing. So I'm throwing punches, and the guy must have boxed. I'm missing every fucking punch. The guy's fucking, every punch I hit, I do like three, one, two, three, boom, boom. I'm like, fuck. So then my friend Connor Hune said, if you're ever in a fight, or no, it was Joey Vegas, said use the top of your head because that's the strongest part. So I grab him like by the gi almost and start fucking headbutting him, right? And that actually worked, right? So because I'm headbutting him, and then I grab him, and then I kick him in the balls, like, and then he's like, and he was like, I put him in a headlock, and he's like, I'm gonna have you killed. I'm like, you can't fucking say that during a fight, right? But then people, and the elevator is going up and down while this is happening, and the doors are opening, right? And my ex is like, stop fighting, stop fighting. So then finally, we go back down, and then
hit the dog.
It gets broken up, and he cracks me again. And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, all right. So I just took him down wrestling-wise, and I just wound up and just went boom. So he got a big doozy, but I had a nose bloody, and I had my eye black. And then my ex is like, he fucked you up. I'm like, thanks. That's what you want to fucking hear.
It sounds like you won that fight.
I kind of did, but my dog. That
story a lot different. Like, it evolved. He's a comedian. Shit, like, these bits evolved, bro. Like, that's not the story I heard right
now. My dog bit up his whole leg. My dog stayed in the fight. My dog stayed with it. His dog ran away and chased another dog that was in there. And my dog came and just, you know how, like, just gripped his fucking leg and wouldn't let go. And after that, I was like, my ex was like, I'm getting rid of this dog. I'm like, there's no fucking way. Like, my dog had my back.
After that, like, you guys were in the war together. Like in a prison riot, bro, once you fought the guy, you're bond for life, bro. You're bond for life.
Did you ever do that?
Hell yeah. Oh my God, bro. Crazy ass shit happened, bro. I never told you that they shot a damn tear gas grenade at me, and it landed right between my legs. And I had barely a moment to jump out of the way until it exploded, you know? And I didn't get the direct hit, but still, everybody was down. Like, it was, you were coughing and blurry, and they're telling you to lay on the ground. Yeah, it was rough, bro.
Were you a mark in prison? Did guys want to test you because you're a fighter? And
well, yeah, but like, I got into one little scuffle. Well, not one. But I got into one little scuffle, and after that, everybody was like, "Nah, okay, nah, I'm not, man." It was, and I was very lenient on the guy where I could have smashed him, you know, but. Because he was a different race, I didn't, and then the beef was over. Plus, that guy was like crazy; like nobody really wanted to claim the guy anyway. He was crazy, you know. And then another got into a scuffle with a white guy, and white guys are allowed to fight each other; like it's no big deal. But I smashed the guy, and then the word got around that all right, well, don't fuck with Mayhem because he really does know how to fight. So yeah, it was weird, definitely a weird time in my life. I'll tell you that. I'm glad to have that all behind me, where it's just like becoming a more distant memory.
I know you're putting up videos, fighting videos. Have you ever thought about putting up videos in case you go to prison?
Yeah. I mean, that could be a good strategy. Thanks for that. I'm taking that, you know, doing any problems, Darren.
No, I'm serious. Cause there are guys out there, they're probably like worried about going to prison or jail, and they're like, fuck. And you, here's what you do. By the way, we have a badass here, Cody Durden. What do you rank now? 7, 8, 6?
Shit, I wished. I just broke into the top 15 last year. So I don't know what the ranking is right now. Maybe 15, 16. But who gives a fuck, man?
Just keep winning fights, bud. Keep doing it, bro.
And Cody, you're a Georgia kid, right?
Yes, sir. Georgia born and raised.
Oh, hell yeah. Whereabouts?
Loganville, Georgia, near Gwinnett, Georgia. I actually went to the Gwinnett County Police Academy today and was teaching the police officers and stuff. And man, they have the nicest facility. There's got to be 1,500, 2,000 police officers just in the county right there. I mean, it's huge.
So the entire time that you're doing jiu-jitsu, do you scream, "Stop resisting"?
Oh my God. I said that today. I was on top of this guy and I had both his wrists and I said, stop resisting. They told me to say that my next fight when I'm on top of somebody, stop resisting.
Mayhem, are you and Cody from similar places or?
I mean, I know Gwinnett County. I know that area, but I was in Atlanta, the whole time. So I don't know. I don't know out there in the boondocks. So I don't know. I don't know that area. Got to be honest.
Now, his last fight, Cody, you lost your last fight, but I thought the guy cheated. He kept putting his toes in the cage.
Man, I mean, not even that. After he weighed in, you know, he left the Band-Aid on where he got an IV. Fucking dumbass. You know, he's part of Islam's camp and, you know, the rumors are thrown around that they use IVs and fuck, man, let me use an IV. You know, I know I'll have at least 7 more pounds on me come fight night, but.
Are they illegal? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it's you can only use like up to 100 milliliters per 12 hours, which 100 milliliters is like that much. Nothing, you know, so who gives herself an IV for this much fluids, you know? So plain and simple, I lost, you know. The guy was a better man that night. Yeah, he kept putting his toes in the cage and I felt the opportunity, you know, to get him off my back as he had that body triangle in and the Joker put his foot in the cage and slid straight back up my waist. So I was like, damn, you know, but either way, it was my fault. Don't let him take your back. Don't let him throw the boots in. And I live to fight another day.
Well, I mean, dude, you're an amazing fighter, and you had won 4 in a row before that. He rocked you a little early. Were you kind of a little bit after that? Were you like on Queer Street, as people say?
No, actually, I wasn't. You know, it was just a good shot, but you know, right after the shot, I shot in for a takedown. He tried to guillotine me. I reversed him. It was just a clean shot, you know. I threw a double jab fading to my left versus an orthodox, and he faked the shot and threw a big overhand right, and it clipped me right on the chin. So I remember getting back to my feet after he swept me, and we got, you know, a scramble, and I came back to my feet, and I said, oh, we're fucking fighting now. You know, I remember telling myself that. But yeah.
Well, I mean, dude, one of the coolest things I said was I was looking at your page and you were a construction worker, right?
Yeah.
And you said, this is my last day working construction. I put in my 2 weeks and but you know what you were doing. You're like a man's man. You're like, you got this big drill. And how long were you a construction worker for?
So I did that for 3 years. Before that, I worked at a corrugation plant. I was working 6 days a week, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day, and I fought the whole time. So I'm the blue collar worker. I'm the guy that they say you can't work a full time job and make it to the UFC. Well, I did that. You know, I just put in the hard work every day, And not only did I make it to the UFC, I'm going on my 10th fight with the UFC in 4 years, and made it towards the top of the division, and still here today.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're super inspiring, super good guy. And then you were just at Ryan Klesko. What was that about?
So Sunday we did with he had the Ryan Klesko Foundation. It's called the Rhino Foundation, and it was for the youth. And basically, I auctioned off 4 tickets to my next fight, July 20th, and we brought in $30,000 for those 4 tickets for the foundation.
Nice.
Oh, good job. Get over to your next fight then.
Yeah, so I did. Originally, it was supposed to be 2 tickets and a meet and greet. Well, these 2 guys got to $15,000, and I told them to just split it. So you both win. That's $30,000 for the foundation, and I'll buy
foundation. I don't understand. What's the foundation for?
For the youth, for the kids, the youth baseball, the Brave Scouts. So it was for Ryan Klesko's. He is a World Series winner in 1995, and he's wanting to build facilities for baseball for he's a big part of baseball, and so we're raising money for that.
Well, I mean, and also your wife. What's up with this, Cody? This is bullshit. So this is Cody's wife. Is this your house?
No, that's a friend of mine's house on Lake Oconee that we usually go to.
It's your wife?
This is his wife. Yeah. How did this
happen? Your wife?
No, that's Cody's wife. How did this happen?
Yeah, I know that.
Cody, how did this happen?
I can't believe.
This is some bullshit.
Wait, why? I don't understand.
Well, look at him. He looks like he's the missing link or something. How does this happen, Cody?
How is a married kid's always in the thirst traps, bro? Like, you're every time, bro. Your wife needs to blow you every once in a while. I mean, I don't understand what's going on with you, dude.
good job. You guys look very happy. I'm the best. He writes, fuck the rest. Here you are. Whose house is this? This can't be your house. This your house?
That was the Airbnb in Las Vegas when we went to fight Charles Johnson.
Nice job on there. And then this is your private jet?
So that guy's house that we were just at, that's his jet.
Oh, nice. Mm.
That's him right
Cody,
there.
Will she stay with you if you're not flying private jets in the big mansions? Is she a good woman? Or is she like Don Fry's ex?
No. She cooks every day. And, after I get home from practice, I have a protein shake waiting on me. You know, she makes sure that, we're a team. So when I win, she wins.
So, like the Louis Vuitton bag, what was that based on?
She's been wanting that bag forever, and I'm a damn cheapskate penny pincher, and so I was like, "Fuck it, I'll buy it for you."
Yeah, me too. I am the exact same way. Well, I mean, good job on this, Cody.
I'd buy her 2 or 3.
So,
oh hell no, is that Don Fry?
How many does she want?
Don, you a buyer 2 or 3?
Yeah. How many does she want? Yeah. My God. Well, yeah.
And look, I don't know how we transition from the awkwardness of Adam Ogle's wife. How long you been with your wife? It's been a while.
Yes, 7 years married. 10 years.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
For the long haul, bro. You're treating her like she's some thought, bro. Like,
I'm not fucking, I'm just fucking.
So you got her. You got her when she's 23. You got her when she's 13 years old. You brainwashed her.
Hey, listen. When you're a comedian, it should be nothing's off limits, okay?
Thank you, Cody.
Whatever he says is one ear and out the other.
Yeah. Thank you. Cody's got my back. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you, Cody. Now you don't worry,
Adam. I'm not going to cancel you, bro. You're good,
Cody. You're the And same goes to you. By the way,
man, I'm going gasoline.
Bad for.
Cody, you got a fight coming up, right?
Yeah, I'm fighting July 20th at the Apex versus Bruno Silva.
Nice. Mm. And now he's on a 4-fight winning streak, right?
Yeah, 3-fight winning streak. He's from the same camp, actually, that I train at, and I've trained with him before. It's a little awkward, but fuck it.
Wait, no, so what, train on different days? Yeah, listen, we were talking about this earlier, where I have a couple of 55-pounders that I coach that might run into each other, you know? So, like, how do you guys – how are they dealing with that as far as training camp goes, you know? Who gets – what partners and when, you know, I don't understand how that's going to work. Tell me about it.
So I've been at American Top Team Coconut Creek for 6 years. I started going there for my camps in 2018. And I was scheduled to fight Bruno Silva back in September. But during the Jake Hadley fight, I got caught in that arm bar and I didn't tap and I got out. But my elbow was messed up, so I couldn't fight 4 weeks later. And so they scratched it, and then I ended up fighting Tagir in December. Well, they offered me Bruno Silva a few weeks ago, and I turned him down. I was like, look, man, I train with him. We're at the same gym. Like, you know, I don't turn down opponents. So it's just like, it's going to be a little weird. Like, I'd rather fight somebody else. And then we got the same manager, and his ass was like, look, I've trained with him a few times, but we're not boys or anything. I'll fight his ass. And Ali told me that. I was like, fuck it. So I texted Mick. I texted Ali. I said, dude, we're fighting now. Those are fighting words. So everybody knows that, you know, I fight anybody, man. Look at my record. Up a weight class on 1 week notice. I fought Chris Gutierrez at 135, who's a savage. Yeah. You know, Makayev Muhammad. You know, I fight whoever, but
wait, Ali's your manager?
Here's the elephant in the room. What happened during training that this guy is so confident?
I have no idea. We just drilled together a couple of times in the striking. You know, we never went live with each other, but I always kept my distance because I knew that they were going to match us up sometime. But this guy's, you know, he presents everything on the table. So I was just like, okay.
The other big question, what did you see during those drilling? And you know what I mean? Like, what did you take from that little bit of training that you could play into your hand? Do you see anything or no? Or you want to keep that close to the vest?
Huh? Yeah, to you.
Don't worry. 18 people watch this podcast. So,
only time will tell, you know. That's you'll see, like, man. Hey, well, I tell you what, you know, I'm not getting in that fucking cage to lose, you know. It's a dog eat dog world, and if you watch my fights, you know it's kill or be killed, and that's what I'm bringing to the table. I'm bringing nonstop pressure, relentlessness, and I promise you, you're going to see violence and you're going to see blood, and that's exactly what I'm bringing to the table.
All right.
So Cody, Ali's your manager?
Correct.
Didn't you challenge him to a grappling match on Twitter or something?
No, no.
Oh, was that Bryce Mitchell?
I don't think so.
Oh, because somebody was
that was Bryce Hall, this motherfucker.
Oh, that's the different.
YouTuber or whatever.
No, I'm talking a long time ago. So Bryce Hall, by the way. I don't know. I guess he's a big guy on Twitch. I don't know much about him. Other than he had a bare knuckle boxing match, which he won somehow. But this guy's like a multimillionaire and everyone talks about him. He's in that whole, like, I don't know, Jake Paul, but even younger, I think. That whole era of kids that I'm 46 years old. I don't know it. But I guess he was gambling and he was talking shit to some kid and being really rude, being really rude to the people that were there. And saying like, I could buy you and you only make $50,000 a year and fuck off. And it upset a lot of fighters. So take it from here. What happened?
Yeah, basically he was looking down on that guy. He didn't know who that guy was. And, you know, the guy's backstory, Bryce made a whole bunch of excuses, told him to go back to his 9 to 5. You know, I'm gambling $50,000. You don't even make that in a year. You're broke. Like, just looking down on the people, the working class people, the backbone of America. And so that told me a lot about his character and who he is as a person. And so, I don't usually comment on shit like that on Twitter, but like, the dude's a fucking dick, bro. And I would love to fucking spar his ass. You know, he sucks at boxing. You know, he had one bare knuckle fight. Well, the bare knuckle, unless you're Mike Perry and the big guys in the bare knuckle, the competition's not like all there yet. So that guy, man, I would love to spar him.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to make it happen. I mean, is the same weight or is he kind of bigger? Does it even matter?
No, he's big. He's bigger, but it doesn't matter. I'd love to.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Because I saw it, but it wasn't just you. There was like 5 fighters that got mad at him.
Did you watch the video?
Yeah, but does the other guy know all the fighters? You guys all know the other guy or something?
No, I don't. I mean, when you talk like that and you look down on people because you have money, like, come on, bro.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I think there's a whole, you know, generation of kids that are just all about like, I have money, so fuck you, and I'm better than you. And it's,
yeah.
I thought at one point we were getting past that, but it just, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I can't relate to it. I've never had a lot of money. I live comfortably, but I also know what the important thing is. I mean, Mayhem, you've had a lot of money and then you've not had a lot of money. But you know, I don't think you're at your happiest.
I used to be rich every other weekend. I never got where like, I guess like he's saying with the blue collar kind of roots, you know, where if you work for your money, then you understand how important, how hard it is, and you have respect for hard work. But if like you hack the system, you know, the way that our society is set up, it's super materialistic, where if you're, you know, if you make a bunch of money, then you're worth more somehow. People think this, you know, way our culture is designed, you know, you brag about how much stuff you got, and it's just is the way it is. And I underwent like a sudden like brain change where I realized like you did. And I don't have kids or wife or nothing, but it's like, I realized that the important things are like human connection and not, you know, flaunting your money. It's stupid. It's like, it's the dumbest thing that society feeds little kids, you know?
I've been coaching kids 15 years. The happiest families, the nicest kids, the best families were not the richest families. I mean,
they're the Mexicans.
It was the Mexicans. A lot of times it was the Mexicans because they came to every practice. They came to every match. They brought the whole family out. The kid wrestles and loses in 12 seconds, but the whole family is there to support him. It's a whole different experience than the rich kid with divorced parents that hate each other that drive the Tesla, but they don't. They're on 19 medications and they fucking it's complete misery and they're like depressed. It's a whole, you realize it. Like, I've realized it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a huge generalization, but that's to me the, and then you have 2 kids, right, Cody?
Yeah, that's correct.
How old are they?
12 and 12. Yeah, both 12.
Nice. You look so young to have 2 12-year-olds, by the way.
Yeah, are they twins or they're just both 12? How does that work?
So we're a blended family.
Got it.
When she had a 2-year-old and I had a 2-year-old. And, you know, Adam, I told my wife the other day, I was looking in the mirror. I said, damn, I look better and better the older I get.
By the way, all right. So in MMA news, so it came out yesterday that Chael Sonnen was going to box the guy. No, Anderson Silva was going to box the guy from Reno 911, right? The
guy from White Girls.
His big black dude. What's his name? Terry Crews. Terry Crews made a video.
Put some bets on President Mountain Dew Gonzalez Idiocracy guy. That guy is the best, bro.
So Terry Crews was supposed to box Anderson Silva. That made all the press. It made no sense. Then Anderson Silva makes a video. No, I'm going to make my announcement at 9 o'clock, which makes no sense because 9 o'clock is different for everyone in the world right now. Because no, where he is. But and now it came out that Chael Sonnen is going to box Anderson Silva in Brazil, and then he's going to box Masvidal.
Nice.
I love Chael. I want Chael to win. But is he a boxer? Has he been training boxing? Like, Don, how's this going to go?
I don't know. Chael's a hell of an athlete. Both of them are great athletes. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who's more dedicated and who has a better trainer.
Mayhem.
The winner of that fight is not the fans. Silva should piece him up, right? I mean, are we going to pretend? I love Chael too, but oh my God. I don't know. That 6 2-minute rounds. It depends on how many takedowns Chael gets.
Cody, what's going to happen in this fight?
Man, that's funny. I actually talked to Chael. He called me on the phone about a month ago and we had a conversation, but I got to go with Silva. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Pretend we can go USA, USA.
I'll be looking at the TV like, let's go, Chael.
Me too. Look, I love Chael. Chael has this thing where he thinks it's funny to always text me pretending he's talking to my wife, going, is Adam sleeping? But
I love him.
Bill, what's going to happen here?
Man, they're the experts. I believe what they say. Anderson Silva hasn't boxed in how long? It's been a few years now, right?
No, he fought Jake Shields. I mean, Jake Shields. He fought Jake Paul, and he lost to Jake Paul in a pretty close fight. But then he knocked out Tito Ortiz in like 12 seconds, and he beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in a boxing match. I don't think Chael's ever had a boxing match.
No.
He's never boxed, but I hope he
taking the fight. You know what I mean? He's going to give the Brazilian fans like a nice, great show. He's going to have great numbers. You know, he's going to be Chael. So, you know, I hope he wins, but.
Dude, some of the shit he was doing before the first Anderson Silva fight, he went to Brazil and he goes, this is soap. And he whipped out soap.
Oh my God.
And then, I mean, he was saying the craziest shit I've ever seen. Like, it was crazy. It was nuts. But he was the first guy to ever really, I think, kind of cross over between bad guy persona wrestling WWE in the best way. I mean, people did it before. Tank Abbott did it. Tito kind of did it. But Chael did it in a way where, like, you love to hate him versus you just hate him. You know, like, you also loved him while hating him.
Good, right. He did good writing, you know what I mean? Solid, solid bits, I gotta admit.
Jason, you were the first guy to ever do the walkouts, right? You were the first guy to ever.
Oh, no, I came from a long line of walkout guys, you know what I mean? Genki Sudo, Sakuraba,
they never danced with girls, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I put a lot of effort into mine, that's for sure. I give the fans a show. You know,
Now, Cody, my last question. I noticed that you have that All-American wrestling tattoo, right?
Right.
You know how, like, you see someone, Jason, you see, like, I don't know, Bill, if you ever see a guy with, like, it's like a map, like a map of the, of like the U.S. and half of it's colored in, like, on their back. Don't fuck with that guy because that guy is an All-American and only All-American can get that tattoo.
Oh, an All-American wrestler you have to be to get that tattoo.
Yeah,
oh,
only All-Americans can get that tattoo for some reason.
Or just be the low single in the bar. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Now, Cody, were you an All-American in high school?
No, I wasn't an All-American.
So, I didn't know you had
an All-American to get a tattoo that you wanted in the United States. I thought you could just do what you want.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you had to be an All-American to get that.
No, no. So that tattoo stands for USA Wrestling. So it's like a club I started when I was really young wrestling. And my buddy in high school, I was a state champion. He was a state champion. He got it on his thigh. And the motherfucker died in a car wreck. Like I was supposed to be with him that night, and the motherfucker died in a car wreck on me. And so I got it in his honor on my back. Yeah. But it's
don't you feel like an asshole now, Adam?
Yeah. Talk shit like he did some stolen valor. Meanwhile, the dead homie statue on the dead.
I thought he was an All-American. I was about to fucking prop up his wrestling credentials. I didn't know. Come on.
Oh, heard that. Hey,
you fucked that up.
The USA wrestling statue, I thought.
Adam, I'm not even a wrestler anymore, brother. I'm a striker.
No, fuck that. No. Dude, this guy, you got to see, dude, this guy's cardio, Jason.
Yeah.
He doesn't get tired. Does not. Yeah. He's in every second of every fight. Don Fry. He fights like you, but he also is relentless. And then after the round's over and he's beating you up, he's full of blood and he just walks you back to your corner. Like he's a psycho. And then he did get in trouble, kind of. I think he beat a guy from China, right? And then after the fight, he gets the mic and he goes, I wanted to bring the gold back to the U.S., right? That's all he said, right?
I had to send him back to China.
Oh, that's what he said. He goes, I'm sending him back to China, right? So right away, he almost gets canceled, like everybody. But then other people were like, well, if a guy in the U.S. fought in France and the guy was like, I want to send him back to the U.S., no one will give a fuck. Like, why should the Chinese be off the hook when it comes to gamemanship, right? So yeah,
Adam, I don't understand why this is even a problem. They're mad because is it racist to tell somebody to go back to China? Or you know what I mean? Like, he sent him back. You know, he probably put him in his original packaging.
Yo, so here's the thing. The guy lived and trained in China. He wasn't training and living in Illinois, and I said, send him back to China. Now, that would have been great. But the guy was actually getting on a plane and going back to China. So, I mean, I caught so much shit for that. You know, I had 1,000, probably more than 1,000 hate messages and articles. And then I had 1,000 messages, I love you, you know. So it was like... Man, I mean, I talked to Dana, I talked to Mick Maynard, we were all good. But at first, like, seeing everything blow up on my social medias, on Twitter, on Instagram, I was like, oh, shit. You know, I didn't even realize, you know, it was a big deal. But when you talk about China,
during COVID, the next time I'm gonna make you apologize in Mandarin.
Dude, and then the next fight he had was against like somebody. I was gonna say I'm gonna send them back to Brazil. Like, he's the guy that sends everyone back. You know, like, he's
loser town match. That's what we call that, baby.
Loser leaves town.
Take them back. Alaska.
Yeah. Well, like, call him Federal Express or something, or like you should come out there like in a UPS costume, yeah. And like
I'm shipping him back to Coconut Creek. To go trade partners.
I mean, Don Fry said way worse. What, remember last week? What did he say to Ken Shamrock? He lost his virginity to his sister or something, or to a guy. And then Don.
To a guy. Oh,
Freddie Mercury.
To a guy waiting before he started dating Freddie Mercury. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, so Ken Shamrock called. Okay, he goes, he got his mustache.
He doesn't even remember. No, because he doesn't even remember.
By the way,
this is my baby mama. So all the gay rumors. Don, you did a movie with her years ago.
With Sean Stone. It was called Pass the Light or something. It was quite funny, that movie. Do you remember with Alexander Reeve?
It was Reeve? What? A sad movie?
Do you remember the movie with Alexander Reeve and Sean Stone? You don't remember?
Yeah, it was... yeah, I remember. It was... fuck.
It was the torch, past the Richard Grieco, right?
The golden, something in the golden fleece.
Yes, it was golden fleece.
Something of the golden fleece. I forget. He titled it such a weird name.
It was a Richard
Fury, Fury of the Fist or something. Yeah. And the golden.
Yeah, Fury of the Fist and the golden fleece. Yeah.
Over the back.
Bill, what was his part? Was he her boyfriend?
I think they were like a boyfriend girlfriend, right? You and Don. Okay, we're going to send a photo. We're going to send Don a photo of them together at the film.
I love Hollywood.
I don't know that movie sounds
terrible movie. I hated the film. It was like literally god awful. I'm thankful you don't remember. And I only did it because I'm friends with Sean. Like only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a big badass, which means I also have to get off the phone or she'll kick my ass.
No.
So But I love you guys.
Yeah. Why?
Hold on, Bill, before you leave, we have to show everyone this movie because this actually looks like a really good movie. It had Sean Stone, Danny Trejo, Don Wilson, Bianca Brie, Tommy Lister,
London,
Richard Greco, Tommy
Davidson. Richard Greco, he was great.
Don Fry, Tommy Davidson, Jenna Sims, Jenny Shakeshaft. There's you.
There she is.
Jenny Shakeshaft, which is Bill's baby mama.
Willie's date.
Don's
Willie.
Gokor was in it. And Michael Winslow.
This Academy.
Combo cast, man.
Was it the porn star meet too? I forget who he was.
What's the porn star? Adam, you know porn stars.
No, Zito, Judo Jean LaBelle was in it. Victor Ortiz.
No, he's like short and a porn star. Who was he?
Bill Goldberg.
Pete Antico.
Yeah.
No, he was. Who's this short porn star guy? He's like this tall. Ron Jeremy.
They took him off.
Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, he's in jail for life. So I think they took him off.
What did he do
with him?
No. He's off. He's off the
thing. He did porn star stuff outside of the set.
So anyway, that's our show today. Anything you want to plug, Jason Mayhem Miller?
Yeah, fucking this show, the best show of all time. The greatest ever not listened to. It's called MMA Roasted.
Don, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, Robert Patrick was in that movie too. He did a great job. It was a great movie. I had a lot of fun. Me and Bill Goldberg, we did a fight in a car wash. We did about a 20-minute, 30-minute fight, and they cut it out. They cut the whole thing out.
I did it with a broken
bat.
No, but not plugged like the movie. Anything you want to plug in your career or anything? Or like anything you want to?
Jeez. I thought we were talking about the movie. Now all of a sudden you get mad. How many movies you been in?
None. I haven't been. You've been in 100.
No wonder you don't want to talk about it.
Cody, anything you want to plug?
Man, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Hey, you guys tune in July 20th. For my fight.
Hell yeah.
I hope you enjoy it because I'm trying to bring some entertainment like Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway.
Fuck yeah.
Gaethje.
Yeah, right. Exactly. yes, and I go to adamhuntercomedy.com. I'll be on Gutfeld next Wednesday, next Tuesday. On Fox News. You guys are great. Love you guys. Have a good week.
Yeah. Yes. Buddy, you too, buddy. You